Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. This is snap reactions for the wide receiver position after week 12. So again, if you're newer to Analytics Dynasty, go ahead and check out the Running Back Podcast with some introductory stuff about kind of the format of each week and some of the content that we cover, and you can go check all that out. Check the Running Back Podcast. I sort of did it first 5 minutes or so of that podcast. All right, let's start here with the Arizona Cardinals. And the one question that I would love to get an answer to over any meaningful sample size would be, what does this offense look like when it features Marquise Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, and Rondale Moore? We get two. We never really get three. Probably telling to some degree about the limitation of Marquise Brown and Rondale Moore and Hopkins to stay on the field. There's probably some signal there, I guess. I don't know. But in this game, we get Marquise Brown back, 8 targets. I think that's notable given the fact that DeAndre Hopkins had been a target machine, basically, in the absence since his return in the absence of Marquise Brown. So that's interesting. Hopkins didn't play a full set of snaps, only played 48 snaps, and ran 30 routes on 34 dropbacks. Marquise Brown basically played almost every snap, 63 out of 65 snaps, and ran all but one route. So that's a little bit there in the limitation stuff. I didn't see anything about Hopkins being banged up, but that might be something to just watch for during the week here. I think Hopkins still at 4 for 87 and a touchdown. That feels like a down game, honestly, and that's a pretty robust game. So, good. This offense can be pretty good when it's all cooking. It just hasn't really been all cooking very often, but a lot of good pieces here we'll sort of see going forward, and Kyler needs to take a step forward as well, I think. But it's good to see Marquise Brown back contributing. You get 10.6 PPR points on the board. Not great, but hey, it's some positive momentum for him. All right, Atlanta. We're starting to see a little bit of slide on Drake London. He started off really hot, really efficient, and it has come down pretty, I'm not going to say sharply. He's still on a good success track, 1.51 yards per route run so far on the season. So, again, that's good, and that's certainly on a success track, but not at the mind-blowing pace that he was on early on in the season. Again, the targets per route run has come down as well. I was hoping that the absence of Pitts would allow him to be a really dominant feature of this offense. But 2 for 29 in this game, 3 targets per PFF, and he ran all but one route. So the route participation is up. It had been down early on in the season. It's up and it's lagging. So I almost wonder if Mariota is not really the best quarterback to throw to a guy like Drake London, who is able to sort of win in tight contested spots and do those sorts of things. It's just not really something Mariota's done consistently in his career. So, again, positive track. He's shown a good sample so far, but down from the white-hot greatness that was early on this season. So still encouraged for him, still in that, I still think he's a buy in the teens, but he is getting passed by guys like Olave, guys like Wilson in terms of, and Burks in terms of those early career, elite metrics, right? The things that really signal elite metrics, like your yards per route run. So let's hope for a strong close here for Drake London. And a quarterback change in the off season. Outside of that, Olamide Zaccheaus, you get some of these hot games, 5 for 91 on 8 targets, but that's not really stuff you can depend on, especially in a low volume offense. So not a ton to see there. Maybe he's settles into being a 3 in a good offense, but not really much that I'm going to trust in this offense this year. All right, Baltimore. Devin Duvernay, 29 of 37 routes. DeMarcus Robinson, 24 of 37 routes. So again, a little slide there. DeSean Jackson, just incredible. 2 for 74. He was actually the fastest player this week. He turns 36 on Thursday. He was the fastest player this week. Just incredible that he can still go. Outside of DeSean Jackson, Devin Duvernay, 3 for 23. Is the best receiver production. It's behind Josh Oliver, the aforementioned DeSean Jackson, and Mark Andrews. DeMarcus Robinson, 1 for 17. It's tough to trust any of the receivers in this. You know, the slide of route participation for DeMarcus Robinson is notable as well. So, you know, not a ton here that we can really trust. And I think maybe the lesson from this overall is Josh Oliver getting involved with Isaiah Likely out. You know, that there's probably going to be more room for more tight ends, more inclusion of tight ends in this offense just because of, I think, a lack of trust there from the top wide receivers. All right, Buffalo, in what was, honestly, like it's a good game. It's a really good game for most wide receivers, but honestly felt like a little bit of a down game for Stephon Diggs. 8 for 77 and a touchdown. Again, 15 targets. If you told me 15 targets, you'd get 8 for 77 and a touchdown, I'd be probably surprised and think you'd get more. Again, that's a pretty, that's a pretty dominant performance on 42 dropbacks. Like that's more than a third of the attempts. 15 targets on 42 attempts. So that's more than a third of the attempts he's targeted on. That's a really strong number. Big consolidation in McKenzie, Diggs, and Davis. 30 of the 42 attempts are targeted at those guys. So that's a big consolidation there. But again, Diggs, like this would be kind of a down game in terms of those numbers, what you would expect on that target number. So it just shows how darn good he is, right? Like that's a 20-point game and you're like, he probably left some meat on the bone, but a 20-point game there. So that's just he's just at a different level. I picked up an interesting stat about Isaiah McKenzie from PFF. So this is from quoting here PFF. And it's, McKenzie. All right, here you go. McKenzie averaged 0.37 PPR points per route against man defenses heading into the game compared to 0.17 against zone. So basically double, more than double the production on a route run basis against man versus zone. The Lions had played man coverage at the fifth highest rate in the league heading into the game. The Bills face the Patriots and the Dolphins in the next three matchups. They rank third and second, respectively, in how often they use man defenses. So McKenzie could be a streaming option here coming in down the stretch against Miami and the Patriots. Be some interesting potential streaming opportunities there for him. Sort of keep that in mind. File that away. Down Gabe Davis day. Again, he's going to be basically a full participant in the routes in this offense. 69 of 77 snaps, 48 routes, 50 on those 54 dropbacks for Josh Allen. And he goes 4 for 38. So again, you in a season for him that's really bimodal, right? He's either kind of having a big game or he's not. This is like kind of an intermediate game. It feels a little atypical there for him. But again, I have said in prior podcasts, I think he's probably undervalued just because his dynasty cost continues to lag his production, which is rare for a young wide receiver. You don't typically see that. So, we'll continue to monitor him. Again, you sort of take him for what he is, which is a wide receiver three that has you know, some variance, but you sort of accept that out of him, and at the cost, it's pretty nice. So, yeah, so that's the deal there for the Bills receivers. Moving on to Carolina, DJ Moore, 6 targets, 4 for 103 and a touchdown in this game. They had 164 receiving yards, and he had a 103. So really good production there. The next best receiver in the game was Laviska Shenault, 2 for 19. Shenault's a bit player, really, in this offense. He ran 15 out of 20 routes. Again, that's like a high watermark for him. Terrace Marshall, again, he plays a lot of the snaps, 18 of 20 dropbacks he participated in, but 3 targets and 1 catch for 8 yards. So not a ton there to really see there with him. He plays a lot, but some of the other guys that we like sort of in that mold, Mac Hollins, for example, get more bang for their buck in that sort of role. Bummer of news out of Chicago. Crazy stuff happening pregame. Fields out, which was kind of thought was going to happen. He's inactive at 11:30, right, the 90 minutes before game time. Simeon, the presumed starter at that point, then he injures his oblique in warmups, and then it's like, all right, we're gonna go with Nathan Peterman as a starter, and then it was Trevor Siemian back as being the starter, and it was if you were sitting there watching, it was quite the entertaining hour and a half of back and forth content for a second string quarterback news story. But yeah, it was something to behold. Darnell Mooney, though, is the bummer of news. Going to be out for the year, suffering an injury. So I'm really curious on him coming back. Right, like, what does his sort of future look like? 1.58 yards per route run. That's down from last year, 1.72. 1.5 yards per route run on his career. Could it be a good number two? Is this a team that could pick high in this upcoming draft, pick a wide receiver, that can go on the other side of him, yeah, free him up a bit? I think he's you look at some of the metrics again from last year, his route, the percentage of his routes he's actually targeted on was pretty good. And you sort of looked at some of that and you're like, all right, look, I can actually see some stuff here. He's miscast as a wide receiver one, but could he be a wide receiver two in a pretty good offense? I'm open to that idea. Claypool should hopefully get a lot of opportunity here down the stretch, 21 to 28 dropbacks for him. And there's really nothing else in this offense to really take from it. Pringle, Pettis, Equanimeous St. Brown, 16, 13, 11 routes, out of 28 dropbacks. It feels like it's going to be kind of a revolving door on the other routes in this offense. I don't have a ton of faith there. Claypool hopefully is the thing we'll see get showcased here and really see what he can offer for this team going forward. Again, if you start slotting, as sort of a dynasty strategy, right? Can you sort of move your guys down the pecking order a little bit, right? You move a guy, if they decide to bring Claypool, and make him a long-term option, can he sort of be a 3 for you? Can Mooney be a 2 for you? And then can you sort of get someone above them to really sort of throw some gas in the fire of this offense? And that would be kind of what I would hope to see from this offense going forward if they want to continue to develop Justin Fields. So that how Mooney sort of fits in that, I think, will be an interesting watch here, and hopefully he's ready to go to start next season. Cincinnati, this is an interesting one. Again, thinking long term, not anything that's like super pressing in the near term, but T. Higgins continues to be pretty good without Jamar Chase. I don't know if he's necessarily elite, but you start looking at what some of the guys that are way up there in the receiving market. For example, I think he's better than Mike Williams, right? His comp set would be better than Mike Williams and younger than Mike Williams at the time he hits free agency. You start looking at what Christian Kirk made, right? He made about $19 million. Mike Williams, $20 million. And then there was the big spike in guys after that sort of stage of free agency, A.J. Brown, some others there that really have begun to push those numbers way up. You look at Higgins, he is going to hit free agency in 2024. Chase will be behind him in that. At the same time, they will also have Joe Burrow and Jonah Williams hitting free agency all in 2024. So how that franchise tag will get sorted out, it'll be an interesting watch. Joe Burrow, I'm sure, is going to be due for an extension this offseason. Jonah Williams is basically an average tackle in the NFL, but that's valuable, right? And I think he's probably a solution for them in an offensive line that's struggled. He is, I think, part of a potential solution longer term. We'll sort of see how his career arc is, but that's going to be a lot of money due to them in that 2024 thing. So that's something, you know, we're looking the next couple of years out, how we watch for this. You know, can teams afford elite quarterback price, an elite wide receiver one price, and an elite wide receiver two price? Haven't really seen that. And what does that look like on the rest of the team? Again, then you start paying tackles. Like, it's a lot to pay. And we haven't really seen that. So is Higgins a potential, yeah, I don't think he's going to get traded or anything like that, play out his rookie deal. But as he goes someplace else in the future, it'll be something I'll really watch for, because that, I'm not sure we have a great recent, example of that much money in that space, right? We've seen it really hard for teams to get elite quarterbacks and wide receiver ones, right? The trade of Tyreek Hill, for example, right? The trade of A.J. Brown, for an example. They didn't want to pay him what they were going to pay him. We have seen that happen at Davante Adams, right? So to pay actually two of those guys that type of money, it'll be really interesting to see how that storyline unfolds. So that's one we'll watch. Again, 18.7 points in the past 2 years without Jamar Chase, 14.7 with him. So it's certainly a benefit there. Again, small sample size, caveats apply, but we have seen him be better without Jamar Chase. So we'll see how he continues to develop here over the long term. But this offense coming on in the second half of the season, and expected to get Jamar Chase back here pretty soon. Cleveland, Amari Cooper, 7 for 94, and actually left some stuff on the table, I thought. 12 targets in this game. Him and Donovan Peoples-Jones ran routes on every dropback. That's pretty consistent, right, with what we've seen. David Bell, basically 29 of 43 dropbacks he ran a route on. So, again, that's a little like he's kind of in that wide receiver three range and what's a very consolidated top three pecking order in terms of priority. It's Cooper, it's Donovan Peoples-Jones, and it's David Njoku really monopolizing that route participation there. David Bell, a solid tier down below those guys. But, yeah, Cooper, consistently underrated in Dynasty. Really like him longer term. And again, you get the Watson shot in the arm back. Now, it'll be a watch. Again, I think it's tough to replace Donovan Peoples-Jones. We've talked about that as well. So again, he's going to be a variance wide receiver too. That's where those guys live. And we'll see, you know, with Njoku, how much more money can you really invest in that? With what you're paying Watson. Again, this is tough, so they're going to have to develop from the inside. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones continues to be fantasy relevant because of that. All right, Dallas. CeeDee Lamb, 6 for 106. He goes 11 targets in this game. Gallup actually has 8 targets, 29 routes. He's coming on a little bit. The 19 out of 29 targets in this game went to Lamb and Gallup. Lamb is 16.5 expected points per game, 16.5 points per game, right at expectation. He's wide receiver 9 in expected points per game. He is wide receiver 12 in points per game. Again, don't pay. He's DJ Moore. Honestly, Amari Cooper, some of these guys, there's a long history of examples that we could give of paying elite prices for running backs that for wide receivers that have not yet performed to an elite level. So that's something that we'll continue to sort of monitor, but that's again a cautionary tale at the wide receiver position in terms of overpaying for price. Again, what you're really trying to pay for in that, I think becomes a lot more floor. And it becomes floor from a value perspective, but that player begins to sink in price quicker than you think. It's not that resilient of a price. Again, just think about it. You're going to get guys like Garrett Wilson going to come in, Chris Olave going to come in. There's a lot of guys that will sort of come in and compete for that. And if Lamb starts to sort of plateau at a not elite level, right, that there's a lot more competition in that range for some of the younger, you know, the next CD Lamb type of argument, right? The younger guy, really good early on, type of guys that can then jump over Lamb and honestly make Lamb, like, I could honestly see the 2024 offseason being like, yeah, you know who I'm really in on? CD Lamb at like wide receiver, like 18 or 20. You know what I mean? Because that's it. Because if he sort of continues to produce in this range, like that's the direction that he will fall towards. Denver, it's Sutton, and then it's Kendall Hinton, basically being the 1-2 there. Again, Hinton, 5 for 35. He has 7 targets according to PFF, 9 according to ESPN. So, again, those numbers can differ some from source to source, just in terms of how they're actually great, you know, what is considered an actual target. But Hinton, a streaming candidate if you're desperate. And again, this is sort of that Mac Hollins, just participate in every route. Noah Brown was this early on in the season, just basically full participant in the offense. Again, maybe not necessarily the greatest talent, but full participant in the offense. And you can sort of get production from that. It's variance, but that's a place where you like to stream from, where I would rather try and stream from than to try and get a huge uptick guy that's playing, you know, 50%, you know, hoping for a couple big plays out of him or something like that. I'd much rather stream from opportunity than to try and stream from, you know, big spikes and you know, big plays and that sort of thing. So Hinton very much in that range of the wide receiver position going forward. And Russell Wilson struggles, so that continues. All right, Detroit. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 31.9% of his routes he's targeted on, 94th percentile. Dude's just elite. He's just a really awesome player. 33 routes, 10 targets in this game. Ran 33 routes on 39 dropbacks. So again, 9 for 122 and a touchdown. Like, the guy's an elite wide receiver. That's a really, really strong level of production. You know, he's going to fit right in that, like, young, strong, producing range of the position. And it's like that area of the position feels like it's getting better in recent years. So that's he's definitely one of the guys that fits in that range. You're also getting some other guys back too. Like, again, I've been sort of pitching this. They have a weak strength of schedule down the stretch. But you're getting guys back. Khalif Raymond has basically been an every down player. DJ Chark back, 31 routes in this game on the 39 dropbacks. He goes 2 for 16 and a touchdown. Josh Reynolds working his way back as well. So you're getting guys back in this offense. Again, I'm interested sort of what this team can be down the stretch. And like, I think they can maybe surprise some teams to be playing maybe relevant games here and down the stretch. Green Bay, Christian Watson really coming on, 4 for 110 and a touchdown on 6 targets. 63-yard long play. I mean, dude, just awesome to watch. He's a fun watch. I'm actually encouraged by the six targets on 25 routes. Like, that's actually really encouraging to me, because he hadn't really been drawing a lot of target volume. Again, that's not a huge number of routes, because they only drop back 28 times, so the volume of the offense is pretty low. But when you sort of extrapolate that out, right, that's 24% of their routes, that he's 24% of their of his routes he's actually targeted on. That's a good number. It's an encouraging number, and it's going up over where he had been in some prior games. So that's encouraging for me. Again, to keep seeing him carve out that role is really good. All right, Houston. You know, I think one of the things with Houston that I'm going to watch for is, like, what's this offense look like going forward? Brandon Cooks feels like he's kind of on the way out. Like, he could be a team that be a player that goes to another team. He's wide receiver 61 at keep trade cut. Again, that feels like a of value given he's been pretty good throughout his career, right? Like, he's been pretty consistent except for really this year and basically the last year with the Rams of recent note have been the years where he's really struggled. So that's one where I'm, you know, I'm open to, hey, this could be in another setting, he could be a pretty good, he could be a pretty valuable player, at least on the, you know, wide receiver 2-3 range of the position, if you're, especially when you're getting a player that late in startup drafts. So we'll be watching for that. Nico Collins is actually encouraging as well. He has matched his receiving yardage from last year. He's at 446. 53 targets and 34 receptions, 1.73 yards per route run this season. That's up from 1.24 last year. That feels a little bit Darnell Mooney-ish. Like, if you're thinking of like a comp for him, it feels a little bit like Darnell Mooney. So again, maybe miscast as a wide receiver one, but does he sort of become relevant? Maybe they get a quarterback upgrade. Does he sort of become relevant in that wide receiver two? You need a good quarterback upgrade for that to happen. But he's a guy that I'm sort of interested in, and I think that could get sort of that boost in perception anyways, you know, going forward. So that's a name I think to file away, because he will be the subject of some off-season conversations based around those numbers. Zay Jones is like a top 10 guy in red zone targets in Jacksonville. Really strong game from him. 11 for 145 in this game. He is targeted 14 times on 39 routes. He ran basically almost all the routes, 39 of 42 dropbacks he ran routes on. So full participant there. We've seen that. Christian Kirk and Zay Jones are top two, basically. Marvin Jones, more of a situational guy, playing about a basically two-thirds to three-quarters of the routes, kind of what you expect from him. And Zay Jones gets it on the board here with the touchdown as well. Again, I think this team is actually due for some positive regression in the red zone. We see that a little bit in this game. And, you know, and Jones is a potential beneficiary going forward. So he's wide receiver 36 on the season, 34 in points per game. And Christian Kirk is 15th in points per game. So at 15.6. So again, there feels like there's more value in this offense than you would otherwise think, especially Zay Jones, basically a dirt cheap name at this point, really overproducing any expectation for him coming into the season. Again, fits that Mac Hollins sort of archetype, right? Participating and actually carving out a pretty decent role for himself in this offense. Moving on to Kansas City here, Juju Smith-Schuster, a little downtick in usage recently. Not entirely sure if it's sort of working back from, you know, his concussion. Wouldn't seem to limit his involvement. You know, I don't know if it's conditioning related from that. I'm sort of at a loss for it, to be totally honest with you. Justin Watson, 36 routes, 34 for Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Sky Moore, 15. But played 35 snaps. Juju Smith-Schuster, 21 snaps. 21 routes, 29 snaps. So really high percentage of his routes, of his snaps, he's running routes. Again, in a 46 drop back game, I'm at a bit of a loss for why he's not participating, right? He's been productive. And heck, and even in this game, in 21 routes, he had 38 yards. So I mean, it's still that's a pretty good, you're almost at 2 yards per route run. So I mean, it's not like he's you know, out there just just fumbling all over himself. Not sure what the deal is there. So I'd be curious to find out a little bit more on that, and hope to see him, you know, bounce back a bit in coming weeks. Justin Watson, 36 routes. They're kind of empty routes, though. It's something we've seen in the past couple of weeks was really high route participation for him, leading the team from the wide receiver position. But 2 for 26, like, he's bounced around a bit too. I don't know. I was like really interested, and stashed him in a few spots this week. But like, it feels like it's an empty, it's an empty route bucket there. And honestly, like, it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling kind of ebbs and flows a little bit too. Where Juju Smith-Schuster had been good, so it's a little confounding. If I'm being totally honest, I don't have a great answer for it. And I'd be interested to see sort of what Juju's start rate is looking like this week going forward. That's the big question that I would have. And again, I think he's playing for a contract too. So like, he had, before the concussion, had fit in pretty well in terms of how he was developing in this offense. For the Chargers, Keenan Allen basically back to full work, 49 routes on 52 dropbacks, 7 targets. Feel pretty good about that. 5 for 49 and a touchdown. Again, that's not, it's a yard per route run. You'd hope for more than that, but the touchdown's good. It's a 15-point, a little bit more than 15-point game. You'll take it. Hope down the stretch to sort of get in that range. Like, that feels like a totally sustainable level of production for him, if not better. So I'm optimistic, particularly about his ability to come back and basically play a full role in the offense. That is good news. Josh Palmer playing every route in this game. 5 for 56 there for him. DeAndre Carter, 43 routes on 52 dropbacks, basically like 80% or so there. 7 for 73 and a touchdown. They're missing Mike Williams. It feels like it's going to be an extended absence. Like, I keep throwing third-round rookie picks at Mike Williams owners every time there's an additional injury. No bites yet. So, I mean, if I got a counter for a second, I'd probably take it, but I haven't gotten that yet either. So I'll keep you updated. I'll keep you posted. All right, the Rams, this is just kind of a total S show. Cooper Kupp out for the season. I would be really trying to pitch, package him in some form to get an usage this year if he can get it. Not sure you're going to get that. In terms of helping you this year, from a contender or something like that, I'm open to it and sort of that wide receiver two type range. But you want a productive one this year, right? That would be sort of my thought process if you're a contending team with Kupp and he is out. Otherwise, like, total stay away. Van Jefferson leads them in routes. Ben Skowronek, Tutu Atwell, Brandon Powell, Lance McCutcheon, all somewhere around half. Just nothing there to really write home about. And with Allen Robinson out, I can't believe how bad this season's turned for them. Allen Robinson's going to miss the rest of the year. Kupp out. Stafford, we'll see sort of what that looks like. What's he have to come back to? It's just how this team sort of transitions over the next 12 to 24 months is really going to be an interesting watch without their pick too. Detroit's going to pick really high, and it could be because of not them, which would be fascinating. All right, Vegas. Adams dominant in terms of targets per route run pretty consistently. Down a little bit this week, 7 for 74. Again, if that counts as a down week, like, you'll take your 15 points and move on. Mac Hollins, 4 for 63 and a touchdown. The only other receiver to catch a pass is Keelan Cole, 2 for 12. Again, this is a very, very concentrated offense. Very concentrated. It's top three wide receivers: Adams, Hollins, Cole, Foster Moreau at tight end, Josh Jacobs at running back. Little ancillary stuff, like a route for DJ Turner at wide receiver, a handful of routes for Abdullah and White. Basically, on 39 dropbacks, there was 12 routes run total of running backs, of halfbacks. There was a handful of fullback ones, but of halfbacks, tight ends, and receivers, right? Not in those top three guys. So really concentrated, which again, for a guy like Mac Hollins, is good, right? That's what you want. And he's viable on sort of that wide receiver 3-4 type landscape every week because of the concentration of their offense. I don't think long-term he matters much, but that range of the position shouldn't be making long-term bets anyways, right? Like anything you get now is like great production from way deep at the position. All right, Miami, it's Waddle, it's Hill. Both go for 85 yards, and you know, they're up at the top of the position. Waddle's ninth in points per game. You know, there's Tyreek Hill is basically in the tier of guys up at the top, really the rest of the way. A couple's up there as well, but he's hurt. Tyreek, Diggs, Hill, Tyreek, Diggs, Jefferson, and Adams, and Hopkins. Like those five, really the top of the tier, of the top of the position. And a tier basically between 22.6 and 21 points per game there. So really tight concentration up there. Those guys, really the haves at the position this year. Again, Waddle, I think you really like where he's at both this year and going forward, right? Young, really productive through two seasons, right? That's a really, really lucrative historical bet. And fits really well up near the top of the position for dynasty value purposes. Speaking of well-positioned wide receivers, wide receiver one, Justin Jefferson, 9, 139, and a touchdown, 11 targets, 37 routes. He's just a machine. Adam Thielen, again, we talk about the sort of the concentration, a little bit less concentration this week in this offense. Johnny Munt involved, some of the running backs involved. Again, it's Osborne, a handful of routes in any given week for a guy like Rager. But really, it's the top three wide receivers. It's Hockenson, it's Cook, and a little more residual this week. Still amounts to less than a route per drop back in terms of that residual. So that really leaves a lot for Thielen. You know, 9 for 51 and a touchdown. Very much on my radar in terms of guys at or around the trade deadline for contending teams. Pretty excited about him and early payoff, so that was pretty nice. Couple of thirds got him in a league. I think a late second as well in a different league there. So really plug and play, and I think he's a good add. Basically wide receiver 36 in points per game, 28 in expected points per game, so right in that wide receiver three. Pretty dependable and has the ability to score touchdowns too, so in any given week could get you a little boost there. But you know, if you get, I don't know, if you get wide receiver 30 production from here on out, like you feel pretty good about that, putting him in your wide receiver 3-4 range as a contender. The Patriots, a lot all over the place. Jacoby Myers, only 16 routes in this game. Again, so this gets fluctuating outside of him. Parker, 36 routes out of 42. Nelson Aguilar back up to wide receiver 2. He actually drew 8 targets in this game, 6 for 65 and a touchdown. I don't know if I trust anyone in any given week here. I think maybe the only conclusion that I have is it's Ramondre Stevenson and it's Hunter Henry are probably the guys that I trust in any given week. Stevenson is a running back 1. Henry is a tight end 2. I don't really trust Mac either. And the receivers, like, ugh, at any given week, that's kind of the take that I have on them. All right, Olave goes 5 for 62, 10 targets on 30 routes, just dominant stuff there in terms of that. It's not a huge volume of dropbacks, so you get a little bit of it's like 36 dropbacks. Again, that's okay, but it's not, you know, 50 or anything like that. So this number of 2 yards per route run on a pretty good participation, 5 for 62, it doesn't look that great, but again, it's really, really good in terms of his production this year. So he's checking every box through a year. And I was a little worried about, he was just kind of a one trick sort of outside wide receiver. He's translated really well, so that's a good sign for him. I was a little nervous about how he would translate in terms of if he could actually draw the sort of that big volume, but he's done a really good job of that so far this season. The Giants, Darius Slayton, really the wide receiver one in terms of receiving yards in this game. Richie James, there's been a pretty consistent like through line through the season. Wandale Robinson and Richie James has basically been an every down wide receiver for them, or pretty close to it, like as close as the Giants will really get to like a wide receiver one and a wide receiver two. Wandale Robinson or Richie James, or a combination really of the two of them. Like if you sort of in any week where they both play, if you sum the two of them up, it's basically a top two wide receiver in terms of their usage is really how I think about it. So with Wandale Robinson out, Richie James is up there now at 34 routes on 39 dropbacks, leads the team in routes in this game. So that's a streaming possibility if you need it, I think, and that's probably a one of the questions that I had that I thought I knew the answer to coming in. Isaiah Hodges as well, basically the wide receiver three. Kenny Galladay, absolutely useless at this point. Dynasty-wise, 11 routes, 0 targets in this game. The Jets, it's ever-evolving in terms of how this goes. Denzel Mims was left a wide receiver two. Now with Corey Davis back, Elijah Moore in better graces, I guess. Denzel Mims back to wide receiver four. Garrett Wilson, again, he's on that really good track. 2 touchdowns in this game, 5 for 95 and 2. 8 targets on 28 routes, 28 routes on 30 dropbacks. So high participation, high percentage of targets per route run, and really banging it out of the park in terms of yards per route run as well. Hitting the 2 touchdowns, really love that. He's up there at the top of the position. Him and Olave and Treylon Burks is coming on too, leading the position in terms of your rookie production on a route run basis. So pretty encouraging there. We're getting a new influx of some younger wide receivers to the fold, and really going to sort of flesh out the receiver position here. He's at the at the tip of that sphere in terms of this this draft class potentially adding to that. So good stuff there for Wilson. Corey Davis was actually held only 1 reception on 9 yards. I ran 23 of 30 routes in his in reclaiming his wide receiver 2 position here. It's been banged up a bit, but can perform in that wide receiver 3-4 type range, and doesn't have the perception of being particularly costly either. So we'll see if Mike White can really sort of jumpstart this offense. Davis could be a guy that's in the AOD sort of orbit in some rosters, and be a streaming guy here for you down the stretch. All right, next up, and by the way, Elijah Moore, 13 routes on 30 dropbacks. So not great either. But I guess better than not being involved at all. Philly, we've got Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown both with 4 receptions. 50 yards for Smith, 46 for Brown, and a touchdown. Quez Watkins playing a lot of routes as well, 29 routes for him on 35 dropbacks. He goes 3 for 35 and 1. I guess he's a dart throw sort of deeper down the line with Goddard out would sort of be a takeaway that I would have. This is getting really concentrated. The tight end position is just abysmal. They had 1 target on 33 combined routes between Stoll, Grant Calcaterra, and Tyree Jackson in this game. So, again, you look at how passing games can really be concentrated. This one gets really concentrated about 50% of the receptions, 8 out of 16 of them in this game go to Smith and Brown, and it's 46 out of 153 yards. 96 out of 153 yards goes to them. So basically, just short of two thirds of the yards go there as well. So total targets as well. They had 14 of the 24. So really, really consolidated there with Goddard out. That probably boosts up Devonta Smith, and it certainly boosts up A.J. Brown. So a little bit of a lower volume game for them. But I think that there's and it was almost entirely game plan dependent and specific to the opponent. They ran all over Green Bay for 360 three. So in future games, right, where you might see a little bit more passing centric offense for them, maybe a little bit more competitive run defense, I think you'll see Devonta Smith particularly be a beneficiary of that with Goddard out. Goddard as well should be working his way back relatively soon. San Francisco, it's Brandon Ayuk is really the main guy in terms of like consistent week-to-week production. It's him, 36 routes on 37 dropbacks. Debo Samuel missed like a little bit of time, went out, but ran 35 routes on 37 dropbacks, 5 targets. He had 2 carries in the game as well, held to 0 yards. Been a big-time disappointment this year. Only 3 receptions, 43 yards. He came in kind of overweight to the season, and that, at least that was like sort of the media reports. I covered them for Football Guys, and it just seems like it hasn't gone well for him. So hopefully maybe down the stretch we'll get a little bit better production. But he's really struggled this year and hasn't gotten to I expected a lot out of him because he's so darn efficient that in that receiving role as well. It didn't even need the rushing role last year. That was different in terms of adding some fantasy value, but he didn't need that to be fantasy value. Like, it just kind of diversified how he scored his points. It didn't really make him more productive. It actually made him less productive on a per game basis. So you know, even phasing out of that shouldn't hurt him in the way that his fantasy production has sort of fallen off. But you see, it's just not to the standard with which we've seen him through a couple of years. I'm interested in buying him in the offseason would sort of be the thought that I would think about. You know, in that cheaper wide receiver 2 type range would be where I would hope to potentially get some value for him. And Juwan Jennings, 7 targets, 22 receptions. He's like third and one is like the nickname I guess he's given himself, as being like their third down chain mover. So good you know, involvement there for him, but really comes at the expense of Kittle and McCaffrey for that matter. All right, Seattle, it's DK Metcalf being absolutely absurd. 15 targets, again, 11 for 90. You would think like, hey, that's 15 targets. It could be even better than that. Like, if I told you 15 targets, you'd probably have picked a line better than 11 for 9. You're not going to sneeze at a 20-point game without a touchdown. But interesting there. Again, for a guy that came in and it was thought to be, hey, sort of deep ball centric guy, to go 11 catches and have 90 yards is not what you would have thought from DK Metcalf scouting scouting report. Lockett, for his part, 3 for 68 and a touchdown, really dependent. Again, he's on that wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 type production profile at a much cheaper cost for a contending team. Can really fill out some value there for you. And outside of those two guys, it's Marquise Goodwin playing kind of a 50% route participation role. Not a ton there to really prioritize there on your dynasty team. Tampa Bay, Godwin was dominant in this game. He went 12 for 110 and a touchdown. He had 12 of the 29 receptions in this game. And outside of Godwin, it's Julio becoming a little bit more involved too. 31 routes on 46 dropbacks, 44 routes for Mike Evans. It's really those three guys, and then a big drop down to Perriman at 6 with Gage out. So we'll see how Gage could potentially get back into this later on in the season. But Julio, you know, becoming relevant. He was in on an end around as well, so adding an element to this offense. But man, they really struggle. 9 targets for Evans, 2 catches, 31 yards. So just something's just not clicking with this offense. And this week it was the Brady Evans, matchup there that just really wasn't doing it for them. So hopefully we'll get a little bit better performance out of Evans in a future week. You like the 9 targets. You don't love the 31 routes on 44. 31 yards on 44 routes. You really don't like that. So, but I'm encouraged by the targets. So I hope that things will regress towards Mike Evans being really good, because he is. It's his worst PFF grade of his career, by the way. 1.77 yards per route run, down from a career average of 2.04. So that's kind of in line where he's been the past couple of years with these yards per route run, but hasn't really gotten his the full Mike Evans experience. So hopefully whatever that is gets cleared up for the stretch run, because I think he can still make some big time damage in terms of this season. Treylon Burks, 30 routes on 37 dropbacks, 6 targets, 20% of his routes he's targeted on. That's good showing. 4 for 70 is a really good line, right? So that you'll take that. He had that recovery deal. It doesn't grade out as a touchdown, I think. I'm not sure how that was exactly scored. It's certainly not a receiving touchdown. I'm not sure how it's scored in your particular league. Just looking really at the receiving stuff there for him. But you're encouraged by his early returns, right? Was out for a while, wasn't great, but he had the sort of bad narrative in the training camp too, but really encouraged by him, coming back and getting right involved in this offense. Nick Westbrook Akina kind of doing his thing where he goes 4 for 58, and then next week it'll be 1 for 4 will be his production. So I don't really trust him on any given week. Robert Woods down week, 2 for 16, but leads them in routes. So I think he's going to ebb and flow a bit as well. But he's a guy that, again, below that Lockett, Thielen range for sure, but sort of fits that archetype, but less productive and cheaper. And last but not least, we'll round out a bit of a longer show here for Washington. It's McLaurin, 18 routes, 14 for Dotson, 13 for Samuel. Samuel's not targeted, gets 4 carries. Dotson's really fallen off in terms of his production on a per-route basis. Again, remember early on, really high touchdown production, but struggled on a route-run basis. That continues, so not great in terms of that. McLaurin, 4 for 48, catches 4 of the 14 completions in this game. He has 48 yards on 138 total passing yards in this game. So that's, encouraging, but for Dotson, kind of a disappointment. Samuel, tough to trust right now in this offense. The only other guy really involved from a receiving perspective was De'Ami Brown. Cam Sims also out there, but wasn't targeted on 5 routes. De'Ami Brown, 1 target on 4 routes for this team. Again, Dotson's going to be one that's interesting here down the stretch if he can sort of bump up his evaluation in terms of production on a route run basis. If he doesn't, I think he's going to be a clear sell into the off season, because the metrics really don't like him at this low of a yards per route run. So all right, well, that'll do it for this edition. Again, it's a little bit longer of a wide receiver show this week, but trying to do a full scrub of all the positions, sort of get a sense of where we're at going into the final couple weeks of our regular seasons and heading into the playoffs. So that'll do it for this edition. Again, check out your running back and your tight end shows. I'll have quarterbacks and waiver wire out for you tomorrow. And until then, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.